The long and winding road leads us here to the doorstep of the postseason. One win, a little bit of help away from ending 17 seasons of misery.
Allen steps up. Jumps over the defenders to pick up the first. Now, how many quarterbacks have you ever seen hurdle anyone?
Oops, he throws. Touchdown! Andre Reed for the touchdown! The Bills have scored!
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. You're listening to the Red, White and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast. Episode 41. Matt and Alex, your hosts, and we're reviewing the close, if some may say, loss to the Ravens. Alex, how you doing? How's it going?
You know what wasn't close?
What was that?
Arsenal beating West Ham.
Oh, you had to get that in, didn't you?
I mean, what have, as a gooner, what have I had to be excited about all season?
Well,
I'll take this moral victory over a friend, because we're not going to have any really good victories in the table. So
hold on. This is coming from the guy, when I messaged you about it, you didn't even know they were 3-1 up.
What? Excuse me for using the bathroom or something, you know? I mean, geez, can a guy... Geez. I'm over here preparing for a podcast. I can't watch every sport at every time, you know.
Oh dear, but yeah.
No, actually, I thought it would. I think it would be a real good wake up call to our front office if we like sniff relegation. Because before the game we were like 4 points out, so I was like, you know what, it's like tanking. You know, let's tank. Let's get out the general manager. Let's get out all these bum players. Let's get a good coach in here. But anyway, the NFL, yep. Bills Ravens, right?
Yes. Yes, yes, everyone knows I was a bit more confident than usual on the game. I still think we could have won it. There was a couple of mistakes that happened, especially on the defense, but it still was a Herculean achievement effort.
Herculean effort by the defense.
That's the one.
There it is.
Flippin' heck. I can't pronounce stuff for shit, to be honest. I think there's quite a few talking points to go on there, but it shows that we could hang.
Oh, this defense can hang with anybody. And a little bit later in the show, we're going to talk about will that last and how long will this offense need to catch up. But the first little thing that I wanted to look into was, does having a rest advantage or extra time to prepare really matter? Because we talked about it, and everyone, I think, in the Buffalo media talked about, oh, we have 10 days to prepare for Lamar Jackson. I don't think those extra few days would have mattered. I think that this is the defense that would have played no matter what. Looking at the stats, I couldn't find specific stats for after a Thursday night game, but since 2003, only 15 teams are above 500 when given the advantage of extra rest versus an opponent. So that's coming after a Thursday game, coming after a bye week, stuff like that. Only 15 teams are above 500. Unsurprisingly, it's all of the good teams that we've had since, you know, the last 10 plus years.
Yeah.
The Bills specifically are 21-14 in that time. More recently, under McDermott, they're 4-2, now 4-3. In Baltimore, since 2008, when they hired Harbaugh, with a rest disadvantage, Baltimore was 24-18. So not a lot there. I believe that, and as it showed on the field, playing with extra time to prepare doesn't put you at a measurable advantage.
Well, I was reading an article Micah Hyde actually said that him and the defense were getting the film room quite a lot over the period, and obviously that has to factor in the fact that you take out that 61-yard touchdown pass, and you've limited Lamar Jackson to what, about 100-odd yards?
And even if you looking at the game, my stat
121 yards. That's the one.
Yeah, combined my stat sheet doesn't look at, because I like air yards per completion. Pro Football Reference gives you that for the season, but not for the game. But yeah, I mean, take away that one play, or even give them 30 yards. You know, let's make the tackle on the play at least.
Yeah.
And Baltimore's net passing yards is 139. We were 105. So Lamar Jackson, as a thrower, didn't achieve any more than what Josh did. The problem comes down to is efficiency. Lamar was, I think, 63%. Josh was a dismal 43%. He only had 3.74 yards gained per attempt. And then only 9 yards rushing on 2 attempts. Both of those are his career low.
Yeah.
Looking at the play-by-play, you have him starting over 8. Abysmal. Embarrassing. Then in the third quarter, and it bleeds into the fourth, he went 0-for-10. What happened?
Yeah, I think it's the adjustments. I think, and obviously we'll probably go into this a little bit later with the offense and the offensive line.
Well, we can stick with it now because I'm just gonna skip my original talking point. We're just gonna dive right into Josh Allen and the offense now.
Then it's just a case that Baltimore defense love to blitz. I think in most of their games they blitz like 30 to 40% of the time.
Yeah.
And our O-line just had no response, which obviously didn't give Josh that much time to actually get rid of the ball, hence the incompletions. I know that there were a couple of drops on there. Dawson Knox had a real easy drop. But then in this fourth quarter, he made that impressive one-handed catch. So he can make difficult, but the easy ones he can't. But there were a couple of other drops in there, which obviously didn't help. But I think the Ravens came with a better game plan to actually to limit Josh Allen and keep him inside that pocket, because obviously that's reflected in the fact that he hadn't got all the runs. But luckily for us, we found a real star in Singletary.
Yeah, I mean, Singletary played the best that he possibly could. And one thing that I was looking into, I was looking at the final drive, and first thing, I can't believe we stayed in the game. So that, again, going back, a testament toward, yeah, penalty. We were given 56 yards of penalties on that final drive. So we get into the red zone, and you have three straight incompletions. We had 2 minutes left on the clock with 2 minutes left, and Singletary doesn't get a single handoff. We don't try and move them laterally at all on the run game. I mean, look, you can insert here whatever you want about the play calling. I would have loved to see Josh scramble more. Like I've said all year, not via a designed run, but scramble. But on that for a quick second, I mean, they weren't blitzing the edges. They were blitzing up the middle. They were eliminating the pocket for him. So he could never step up. He could never run through it. He always was scrambling to his left and his right. He was never able to step up, see the field to be able to run. But I would have loved to see more runs via Singletary on that final drive, because we had time and we had timeouts.
Yeah.
He was our best player on offense, and he didn't get the ball enough on that last drive.
Yeah. I saw with the last play on that fourth down, that incompletion to John Brown, before we came on and recorded, I was looking through Twitter, and there were some people saying that on that play, Beasley was open okay, he was short by a couple of yards, but he could have got it if the ball got out quickly to him. I still don't understand how people think it's that easy.
Exactly. It's not that easy.
When
I know exactly the infographic that you're mentioning. I mean, when you see a circle on, you know, on a GIF get open, it's not as easy as that, because Baltimore was bringing seven.
Exactly.
John Brown was the first read, and he was literally the only read.
Yeah.
There was no time for him to look at Cole, find Cole, make that throw under pressure with time, with leading him, with room to run. Josh did the right thing. The defenseman just made a good play. Remember, the other team's trying to win the game too.
Mm.
And their defensive player made a great stop on John Brown.
Yeah, I think everyone's going to be quick to berate Josh for his performance. Part of me kind of understands it, but a part of me actually thinks that you put yourself in Josh Allen's position. If you were Josh Allen for that
game,
I'd
love to be over 6 feet tall. That'd be great.
Yeah, true. So would I. I'd like to be a bit more leaner than I am now. But you put yourself in his shoes at that quarterback with 6, 7, sometimes even 8 men blitzing onto you. And you're saying, oh, Cole Beasley is there, the easy target. He should have seen him. I would say to anyone, put yourself in his shoes. Could you really make that pass?
Well, here's what the coaching needs to do. At halftime, you notice, hey, they're blitzing the shit out of us.
Mm.
Let's get a base package where we max protect, and sometimes we can sneak the tight end out as a hot read. And we didn't do that. Baltimore played cover zero all game, where the safeties were in the box. They were bringing pressure. They were playing man-to-man on the outside. There was there were opportunities. And we just seemed like we didn't know how to work around it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's no point in looking back and saying what if, because the whole idea here is that with one game with only one win, we lock up a spot in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So Pittsburgh, a better defense, more sacks, more pressures, more QB hurries. Now they're probably going to bring the pressure just like Baltimore did. So Daboll redeemed himself before. We've been singing his praises for the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Let's hope to do it again next week.
Yeah.
Because
I think
Baltimore exposed our, like I said in our last show, Baltimore exposed our new style of offense. Now go ahead and make another adjustment.
Yeah. I mean, I said to you, yeah, okay, I did understand the blitzing and all that. I think I did mention to you after the game when we had a little chat that they should have run Allen under center just a little bit more, especially trying to play a few play actions. But as you said, obviously the blitz was there, you wouldn't have that much time. But that's where you try and run Singletary a bit more, then get the odd play action, because obviously it worked for the Ravens. However, we're not that heavy a blitzing team.
I think the Ravens just match up really, really well with our offensive personnel. Not our scheme, not our coaching, but the personnel. Their corners are physical, they're fast, they're strong, and they're not afraid to take a penalty. And by the way, they just weren't getting them, but let's not talk about penalties. So when you're under center, the whole thing that we were doing with Josh under center is giving him a 1 to 3 step drop and the ball's out quickly, and that's been effective for us.
Yeah.
In this instance, in this game, where there was super heavy pressure and the corners were not letting our receivers get off the line of scrimmage, that would have been doomed to fit anyway. So I'm not a coach. I just like to watch football games.
Yeah.
And talk about them and write about them and bitch and whine and complain about them. And from everything that I've ever seen in football, based on who we have, Baltimore essentially took away everything.
Yeah.
Now, you can look at the first quarter, and you can see Josh throwing the ball and missing a lot of guys. Like I said, he's starting 0 for 8, and the first three or four passes, he just overthrew the guys. But Lamar, who's got a better completion percentage than Josh on the season, was also missing early in the game, which goes to show that they were still getting used to the weather.
Yeah.
So I'll let the first quarter mistakes slide, but after that, you get comfortable. Coaching figures out how to block. Quarterback should figure out the environment, and wide receivers got to figure out how they're being handled, and they have to get open. And those three things weren't happening.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's to do with the adjustments on there. I think we know that Singletary can do it. They should have used him quite a bit more. It's pretty much for the Steelers game. You're looking at what went right, what went wrong from this Baltimore game, and obviously the pressure and the blitz and all that, and obviously making that adjustment. I mean, do you put an extra blocker in there, like you mentioned, then maybe sneak him out, or do you just try and call more runs, or do you somehow try and get some screens going? I think we tried a couple of screens or a couple of jet sweeps, maybe just try and keep him guessing a lot more than what we did against Baltimore. I think if we can get the screens done, especially to Singletary, and the fact that he can juke and miss, you're looking at a way to actually keep that defense on it, especially if they want to blitz. If they want to blitz four or five guys onto Josh, you quickly set up that screen, whether it be a wide receiver screen, running back screen, anything like that. You get that done quickly, you're eliminating already five people, and you can make a lot more ground. I think that's what they need to work on a lot more, and what probably is one way they can potentially stop the blitz or counteract the blitz.
I completely. It's just, how does... I just didn't see any discernible adjustments from the first half to the second half.
Hmm. Yeah.
Nothing stood out different to me.
Yeah. I think, to be honest, it's hard. I mean, you're looking at it, you know that the ball has been seeing that all game. So obviously, from his vantage point, he's going to be knowing that they're blitzing all the time.
Yeah.
So he should then hopefully make that adjustment. But then, not only you don't put it on all on the ball, you will put a bit on Allen, because he has the ability to audit. Yes, I'm auditing stock right
We're
now.
We're auditing them. Yeah.
We got audibles. He can audible in a new play based on what he can see. Maybe that's something that he needs to work on a bit more. But there's no adjustments. Maybe they can actually look at this in the film room next couple of days and, as I say, make that adjustment, bring in those plays which could actually counteract and stop Pittsburgh on their blitzes.
Yeah, it'll be, like I said, it'll be every opportunity for us to, you know, welcome Dable back into open arms. I mean, before this game, people were asking on Twitter, like, what happens if we lose Dable and Leslie Frazier? And I don't think that we'll lose Dable, but I think that we honestly could be looking at losing Leslie Frazier. I mean, to kind of move away from the offense for now, because the point of the offense is you failed, and now you have a tougher test. Go out there and show us that you're a playoff team. Because if you win, you're in.
Yeah.
But on the defense, this defense is elite. They can play with anyone.
Yeah.
Bring on the Chiefs. That's fine. We just played the best defense in the league and held them to under 200 yards passing. We held Lamar to one of his worst rushing games over the course of his career. I mean, I hope that this rebuilding offense doesn't end up wasting this elite defense. We've seen it so many times over the last two decades as Bills fans, elite defenses with complete shit offenses. And this is the best this is the best and closest we've had to a complete team since Jim Kelly. So I wanted to look at, is this defense going to stay elite? Luckily, we only need to sign, I'd say, three key pieces. We need to sign Jordan Phillips. Lorenzo Alexander's going to retire. Shaq Lawson's got to get signed. Levi Wallace has got to get signed. And then there's Kevin Johnson. So we have the money. What do we do with those guys?
To be honest, I'd pay Kevin Johnson. I'd re-sign Shaq. Jordan Phillips,
he's gonna be worth more than you actually think he is.
Yeah, I think this season he's gonna inflate his pay slip. And to be honest, you've got Harrison Phillips to come back, whether it be the same or not. Who knows? Ed Oliver's now taking more reps, the first team starts, and he's improving week by week now, which is starting to make Jordan Phillips a little bit expendable. But then there are a few draft picks on the defensive side, especially defensive tackle, that you can get in round three that will actually make that difference and become another part of the rotation. I think one thing they've got to try and do, and maybe we'll talk about this towards the off season when we win the Super Bowl, when we get knocked out in the divisionals, to look at that Star Lutilady contract, look at the Murphy contract. Obviously, I've got a few numbers. I've listened to a few podcasts with numbers on there.
Well, if you don't sign Jordan Phillips, then you have to sign Star Lutilady.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, he's
I mean, not sign, but keep him. Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, if they can restructure him, maybe. But I've read somewhere that if they've got cap-friendly numbers on Murphy and Croft, they cut them, you're saving $12 million on the end.
Oh, yeah.
But we can talk about that at another thing. But in regards to defense, I think they still will stay elite. I mean,
well, Steven Hauschka is our eighth highest paid player.
Yeah, that might change if they're actually thinking about it. But he did redeem himself a little bit more on there.
I mean, in the wind, he did his job. This is one thing. Speaking of Steven Hauschka and special teams, I guess my last note on the defense is this defense, as long as we retain Leslie Frazier, and if we don't, a big credit obviously goes to McDermott, this defense can stay elite and even get better with additions via draft or free agency. So you want to consider the defense stays the same for next year. If the offense takes a step forward by progressions with experience and additions, then you could expect another playoff run next year. But I want to talk about special teams. I think that you said it was going to be important, and I said it's special teams, who cares? But the Andre Robert not working.
I don't know. I think
he puts the ball often on punts and kicks. He had opportunities, and I'm not willing to blame him. I'm 100% blaming the blocking and the coaching, because he's not getting any room.
Yeah, I think it's good that he's actually there. I mean, I'm glad that he's steady. Obviously, he's not fumbled. He's not had really.
Yeah, we got a guy who can at least catch the ball.
Yeah, but he knows he's obviously had success in the kick and the punt. Yeah, it's the gunners and the blockers, which are losing their guys, allowing them to get through.
Yeah, the blockers are missing their guys, and they're just, I mean, not creating holes. I mean, you're seeing other teams do it. I think, what was it? somebody had a return touchdown yesterday, and I was like, oh, that looks good. We could have used one of those last night, you know? But I forget which game it was, but...
I think with Roberts, you know that even if he is picking up the 20, 30-yard pickups from pretty much on the end zone, that you know that he is going to be capable, and he's done it a couple of times, of breaking through for 50, maybe 60-yard kick return or punt return. So with him, I like what he's doing. I think it's something. It's the one good thing about that special teams. Maybe that and Ciaran Neal, who's actually had a stellar special teams campaign.
It might just go to show the way the league is moving, though. I mean, my frustrations are in the fact comes down to looking at Andre Roberts being fifth in the league in punt return yards. He's got 194 punt return yards. Deontay Harris from New Orleans has 269. But no one has more than one, and there's only been four punt return touchdowns all year. Then on kickoffs, he's fifth in kickoff yards. And there have been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 kickoff return touchdowns. Per kickoff, he's third in yards per kickoff return. But in terms of, rushing, receiving, kicking, all-purpose yards, you know, he's pretty low on that list, but that doesn't matter. But yeah, I mean, so he's getting yards, but he's just not breaking them. It comes to the consistency of it. He's got 21 kickoff returns, and he has 26 punt returns. Only Deontay Harris from New Orleans has more. So he's got yards because he has touches. But in terms of explosive plays, they're not there. And I think that's our you know, the guys in front of him, not him.
Yeah, oh yeah. I totally agree with that. I think that he's been a breath of fresh air from who we've had doing him, who we had previously.
Wasn't it like Micah Hyde returning punts last year? Like, I don't even remember who was
he
doing
it
last
some.
Year.
He did some. Can't remember who else did, but yeah.
Well, it goes to show it wasn't good.
Yeah,
we can't remember.
But I think that's one thing. I think we've got that elite defense. The question is obviously it's going to be in the off season. You've got Milano, Ashiem coming up to the end of his contract. They're going to have to look to extend him. You're going to use the option on Trey White for the fifth year. You've got Jordan Poyer coming up, I think, or Micah Hyde, one of those two this year. You've got to pay him as well. Shaq's going to be in for a big one. So as much as we always said that we're going to have like 90 million cap space, all that, you want to keep that. If we keep this defense elite and get those players, you're losing a hell of a load of that money.
Trying to keep them.
But it's worth it.
Not to mention the money that's, you know, set aside or like you need to have for your draft picks. So
yeah, so I think if we can work it out, we can look to probably fork out like 50 million, 60 million in cap space for our defense. You're going to look at 12 million for the draft picks, and to be honest with those. There's always been a trend that Bean will never trade down, has never traded down since he's been the Bills GM. He's always been trading up. So those 9 picks may not be 9 picks come April.
Yeah.
So there's always room for flexibility. But
I mean, the only reason I think to move up is to get a wide receiver who could catch like a 50-50 ball. I mean, considering that last play to John Brown, I mean, you want a guy who's bigger than the DB, stronger and faster. And watching the whole route develop, Brown's first move didn't fool the DB at all. He knew it was the route tree. He knew he was cutting in. He knew it was an inside post. And if you put, you know, Kelvin Ridley there, you know, someone that, you know, you think of a guy with side speed and youth, you have a better shot there. I mean, the question might be the focus.
Question is, what has Duke Williams done to be a healthy scratch for the game? If they know that those sort of situations,
it's not what he's done. I don't think he's done anything wrong. It's just the fact that I think that he can't run a crisp route. He can't beat a guy off the line of scrimmage, and he doesn't have speed.
Mm.
Now, when you're inside the 10 and you want a guy to go up and get the ball, that's great. But he's going to be your jump ball guy. But if it's not a high throw, if it's something that you have to create separation, Duke cannot create separation. So that's the issue there. I mean, because physically, he's the guy that you would want in on that play.
Yeah.
But I think John Brown runs the – I mean, even though he got – you know, beat, John Brown still runs a better route in that situation.
He's just trying to figure out who's going to be the free agent. Who is that free agent out there that's going to be that jump ball specialist that's actually not going to be franchise tagged or re-signed on there?
I don't want a specialist.
Well, yeah, obviously I know what you mean.
Yeah,
I know.
I mean, it needs to be a guy who can do everything.
Yeah. I mean, obviously people want to spend high in the draft. Looking at what I can think, I mean, with Bean actually and his tendencies to go up, draft up and trade up in there, you're probably looking to probably mortgage quite a bit for Judy unless he drops, or CD Lamb of Oklahoma. But one guy to look out for, and obviously, I'll go into a lot more. We'll go into a lot more draft stuff come the off season. He can be available in the third, fourth round if he has a good bowl game. Then he may rise to probably late second. Is Denzel Mims from Baylor? He can catch anything. He's got that great catch radius. He can get off his separation. And has decent speed, not elite speed like Ruggs, like Judy, like CD, well, not CD Lamb, Ruggs, Judy, Devontae Smith coming out from Alabama. But he's got enough to be that guy who can give you everything, a lot more training, a lot more work with Josh Allen, and go up and contest those high balls and those 50-50 balls. He's 6'3", 215 pounds. So he's got the bit of bulk on him to match up strength wise and be a bit more stronger than defender and probably a little bit higher. But he's one to look out for. And if there are any listeners out there do like college football, do watch bowl games, make sure you check out the Baylor game and actually keep an eye on him, because he could be, or he's one of my picks, or would be one of my picks for that draft, for that spot.
2016, we drafted Reggie Ragland. We could have had Michael Thomas.
Yeah.
I mean, I want a guy who's 6'2", 6'3", 200 pounds, and who can run a 4.5 40. That's going to be key in Josh's development. A guy who he can just throw it up to and say, go get it, young man. And we need that. And there's not a guy in that roster right now. And looking at the teams in the playoffs, you know, they have guys. All the teams have guys. You know, maybe it's Dawson Knox in time, but we don't have time. In the NFL, the window is small. There's no time. Whomever we draft or sign or trade for, it needs to work now.
I mean, yeah, as I say, we'll go into more draft talk. I could probably do a whole couple of episodes on.
Yeah, you're going to be our draft guy, but yeah, I mean, right now, winning record.
Yeah.
Win in your end game coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Against a good defense, but a shit offense.
Yeah.
And then you play the Patriots, whom the same thing, good defense, bad offense. And then the Jets.
Well, last couple
Adam
of weeks.
Gase.
Yeah.
So there's one win in there, and that's all it needs to be. We can go 9-7, and we're still in, so it doesn't matter.
To be honest, I can actually see us get 3 wins out of those last 3 games.
But three wins are available. I don't think that the Patriots have 2 wins in them. I mean, no. 2 losses in them. Well, so
you never know. You never know in these games. But that's
good point. Anything can happen. There's some really weird losses over the last few weeks. But
yeah,
I mean. Cincinnati and Miami can pull a miracle for us.
Exactly.
If New England beats Cincy and then loses to us in Miami, then there's a shot. So we'll see.
I think if that's the case, I think we get it. We get the AFC East if that happens. If New England lose to us and either to the Bengals or the Dolphins, preferably the Dolphins. I think that gives us the better record in the division, which is higher than the conference, I believe, the head-to-head stuff. Because obviously we'll be split with New England, but we'll have a better division.
Yeah, it's gonna come down to like average of the opponents inside the AFC. The tiebreakers are stupid and weird. I mean, they're not stupid because they have to be specific, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, let's try and wash ourselves of this loss.
Mm-hmm.
We just played the best team in the NFL and lost by 7. This defense can hang. The offense is still putting it together. This is another learning opportunity for the offense. Let's trust the process. Let's trust the coaches. Let's trust the offense.
Yeah,
Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, what I want to do, I want to introduce the segment towards the end of our review ones, where again we ask you for your interactions and your views, shout outs, questions, whatever regarding the games. I think I've had a few shout outs and a few opinions on us against the Ravens. I do want to read out, and I'll say. When we put these out, please tweet us in because I am quite happy to go through them and actually read them out on air. I think the first one we've got made from Twitter regarding my question, which I asked, it was, even though it was a loss, it was a great game from the D. I probably made a blueprint for Lamar. The responses I've had from it are from Andrew Butcher. I've had RD is top quality. The O just needs to start to work. To actually unlock the top level. Feels similar to the Pats loss early in the season. We're almost there, not quite good enough. British Bills dog, he says to me, when you consider the mistakes, the drops, sacks, penalties, the fact that we're still within the score against the best team in the league, or supposedly the best team in the league, you can't have negativity on that. You've always got to look positive and see good things in the future. Another one, Dave Thorpe, says 2 wins out of the last four. This wasn't one of them. Said we need 2 wins out of the last four, which after the results, no, we've always said you only need one. O-line was awful. Allen took too many sacks when he should have thrown it away, which I agree with. Too many drop passes. Yes, Knox is big one. If he had caught that, that would have changed the game. Poyer at fault for the 61-yard touchdown, biting, but D played out of their world. And he also put on there, punter sucks, which bar one, I think, yes, I kind of disagree on that at the moment. Mike, he goes and says, loss aside, no one should lose sight of the fact that the Ravens are the most explosive team in football and our D held its own. And my favorite one was from Dave Thorpe again. He says, people need to chill. Allen is a project. Offense is improving, but we're average at best. Hopefully we have the same reaction to this loss we did against the Browns. Need to build some steam for the playoffs, starting with the Steelers. And we just, as we said, we need to plan for their blitzing. So there's a lot of positivities on there. And as Dave says, people just need to chill. We don't need that negativity. The fact that we held the number one ranked offense in most people's opinion to what combined 200 odd yards.
Yeah, we made them look average. I mean, one of the touchdowns came off a turnover that shouldn't have happened. So, I mean, I saw one idiot on Twitter say, Bills fans got to stop defending Josh Allen. It doesn't take 4 years to develop a quarterback. He's trash. I'm like, 4 years? Really? A year and a half?
Yeah.
Look at Drew Locke in Denver. That's that 300 yards first gate. Like, 300 yards doesn't matter. Go jump off a bridge.
And that turnover by Allen. Okay, that was not his. That was not his fault. It was actually was it? I think it was Ford or Dawkins or Knox. They blew up the chance, and it was a strip sack. I think Josh Allen didn't have time to tuck or throw that ball away before again knocked out. So I can't blame Josh on that one. And obviously the other turnovers we had was when we tried to go for it on the fourth down, and we didn't make it. So
yeah. I mean, there's a lot of, Cody Ford analysis that I would want to get into, a lot of Dawson Knox stuff. I tend – guys have drops, so I'm not going to, be too upset about that, especially with the fact that I don't think he even caught the football in college. You know, that was the word coming out.
Didn't score many touchdowns.
But just, the point is that, he just didn't get enough action in the passing game. I mean, Dawson Knox was raw. Like I said, let's just, let's wash ourselves of this loss. Hey, Bills fans, look at the record. It's good. Yeah. Still. All right.
Yeah.
That's all that matters. Let's clean it up. Let's put it together. Let's beat some good defenses coming up. And let's go into the playoffs with some optimism, with our heads held high.
Exactly. And next episode will be reviewing such game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. We will also have, and fingers crossed that we can actually get this on there, an interview with Jeff Reinbold, who does analysis at Sky Sports and is also the Hamilton Tiger Cats defensive coordinator. We'll be interviewing him this week for the show, so that's going to be great for us. Obviously, we'll review what we need to do, or preview. Sorry, I said it again, didn't I? I went review rather than preview. Preview what to do on the Steelers, how we can fight the blitz. But no, it's one game, one from three. We control the destiny of ourselves. It'd be great if we can go for three, but that one win guarantees us two playoff appearances in 3 years of McDermott being head coach. Positivity looking forward. So
yeah, we're doing the right thing.
Yeah,
Pegula can't build a hockey team, but he's building a football team. So exactly. let's stay in a good mindset here. It's only one loss.
So unless you have anything else to add.
No, I got you with the Arsenal West Ham talk in the pregame. I'm not gonna get you at the end here.
So on that note, for Alex, happy that Arsenal beat West Ham. For me, not frustrated because West Ham lost to Arsenal, but plumbing issues and tradesman issues. But yeah, screw that one. For me and Alex, keep reviewing, keep interacting with us. Keep listening to us. And for this time, until next time, it's good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thank you for listening, and go Bills.
Go Bills.
Not us. Not us.
You don't know anything about heart. You don't know anything about work.
No. Huh? That's who we are. Bills on three. One, two, three. Bills.